Haribo. So I've been asked again to talk about book distribution. So the last time I spoke, I gave you some of my personal history doing book distribution. It was actually the first service that I did for Krishna. And even back then, when I didn't really understand it, I was actually quite excited about it. There was a natural excitement there. I can only put that down to the fact that these books are not ordinary, because why would you get excited? I'm just a regular guy. I'm not a devotee, not a brahmachari, right? But I was actually excited to distribute these books. So what? That's very unusual. Who's excited to distribute mundane books? Right, you've asked any mundane book salesman, they're not excited. They're doing it for the money, right? It's motor passion. But I was excited. So there was something special about the books. We can conclude that the books are not ordinary. So I've been meditating on this since you cannot help but meditate on book distribution during the Christmas marathon. You think about it, it's all over the place. It's in the atmosphere. And in fact, I came across a beautiful interview that Ramaswar gave many years ago. You may have heard about it, read it already, but where he gives the history of ISKCON's book distribution. And he tells, how the Christmas Marathon started, how they started distributing books in the airport, how they started distributing more than one book. Like that. Have you read this interview? You know about it? It was given in the 1981, very early on. So the memory is very fresh in his mind, and he's telling all of the stories. It's quite amazing. So I'll share a couple, and then I'll talk of some other things. So there's one here, distributing many books at the same time. This was a big thing when they discovered this. So Ramaswar says, "Now at this time, the first six volumes of the Srimad Bhagavatam from Dai Nippon, Japan, had arrived. And so we were distributing all six at a time." Right? Each book for $5. Somebody would give a $30 donation and we would walk away. He would walk away with six books in his hands. The 1.1, the 1.2, the 1.3, the 2.1, the 2.2, and the 3.1. And the idea of distributing an entire set of Bhagavatams at one time was pioneered in Los Angeles Airport, and the news flashed all over the world that we're doing six Bhagavatams at a time. And it was just another breakthrough it was, another intoxicating idea, another discovery. That you could get that kind of donation from the people and get them to actually walk away with all those books. So it got to the point where the devotees were up to 30, 40, 50 big books a day per devotee. It used to be an entire temple on its best day would do that. Now one man was doing that. One woman was doing that. So this was the mood, and this was what was going on when Prabhupada arrived in March 1973. So Baladev Vijayabhushan asks him, "So how are you feeling that increasing understanding, and what was going on? Were you actually realizing that was what Prabhupada had in mind all along? How are devotees relating to this?" Ramaswar replies, "Our realization was that Prabhupada is empowering his surrendered disciples, that they could sell any of his books to any type of person. In the beginning, we were very conditioned about who we could approach and who we could sell the books to. But as we experimented and practiced, we realized that Prabhupada was actually empowering us, because the ecstasy that we were feeling from the distribution, we always, and there was never a time when we did not understand, We always understood that that ecstasy is coming from Prabhupada. That is a little drop of Prabhupada's pleasure, that his books are being distributed to these fallen souls. And the devotees were in so much ecstasy. And more than anything else, it was that ecstasy that kept the thing going and kept bringing the devotees to one discovery after another, one experiment, and being bold. No one thought of taking 6 books at a time and presenting it to a person. Think about that. That's, you have to be super confident. But there was so much ecstasy that you felt you could do anything. That was the mood. You could do anything. You could get away with practically anything for Prabhupada. You could stick 6 books in somebody's hand and get him to buy them. That kind of boldness didn't exist 1 year ago. The ecstasy of book distribution had increased within such a short period of time, actually just from the time of the Christmas Marathon in 1972, that's when the first Christmas Marathon took place, 72, to March 1973, so 3 months. We were already up to that, and all credit was being given to Prabhupada. Beautiful. Prabhupada inspires the book distributors. Everyone felt completely connected to Prabhupada. And that's what we prayed to get other devotees around the movement to take up. We wanted everyone to have this mood of being connected. That there's no better way to be connected to Prabhupada. He's giving his life to printing, to writing them. We should give our life to distributing them. It was a perfect relationship. So in March 1973, we started giving these reports to Prabhupada, these daily reports that we were typing up every night. I was too shy to present them personally. So I would go to Prabhupada's quarters, and at the bottom of the stairs, I would give them to either Brahmananda Maharaj or Sruti Kirti. They would bring them up to Prabhupada, who would be lying down taking his evening massage. And during massage, Sruti Kirti would be massaging and Brahmananda would be reading. And I would wait at the bottom of the stairs for their reply. What did Prabhupada say? How did he react? What did he think? Any drop of nectar. We were hanging. We were at any word. We were living for Prabhupada's pleasure. That was our mood. We were just Prabhupada's men and women. We were intoxicated. We were experiencing love for Prabhupada. We would do anything for him. Any word that he would send us, we would cherish it as the greatest treasure. That was the mood. So I would wait up, usually till around 11, 11:30, to get the report. And when they were finished massaging Prabhupada, and some of the reports were so sublime, at first Prabhupada would just laugh and chuckle. Once he asked, "Who is this boy Ramaswar?" I went into ecstasy. He's listening, right? He's like, listening to every word. I went into ecstasy when I heard that. Prabhupada knows I exist. I just thought that he knows I exist. Put me in ecstasy. And one day Sruti Kirti told me that they were reading the report to Prabhupada and he entered into a state of ecstasy. In his bed, his eyes were closed as he was hearing the report and he was literally rolling from one side on his back all the way to the other and back and forth, rolling from side to side on his back. And these were ecstatic emotions. And Prabhupada, with his eyes closed, the ocean of smile, oceanic smile, He said with the eyes closed, almost in trance, "We will smash all the bogus yogis and incarnations." That was Prabhupada. As he was hearing of his books being distributed, and when we heard that, we were just stunned to hear a Prabhupada being in so much ecstasy over this humble service that we were rendering. We felt so much reciprocation. It increased our love so much. It increased our commitment and our prayer to dedicate our life to book distribution so much. It was so important that Prabhupada acknowledged and encouraged us. Otherwise, we couldn't have gone on. We were doing it for him. And every time he made a gesture, wrote a letter, made any statement at all about it, it increased 10,000 times the mood. So finally, on March 20th, 1973, Prabhupada took one of those sheets of paper and in his own handwriting wrote a note back to us and told them, give this back to them. He knew the effect would be electric. Valadev Bhujibhushan says, you are the only one waiting downstairs? Ramasvar, no, I would be the only one waiting. Everyone would be asleep. And the note said, are you ready? My dear boys and girls, you are working so hard for broadcasting the glories of Lord Krishna's lotus feet, and thus my Guru Maharaj will be so pleased upon you. Certainly my Guru Maharaj will bestow his blessings thousands times more than me. And that is my satisfaction. All glories to the assembled devotees. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Then underneath that he wrote, N.B. Everyone should go with the Sankirtan party as soon as possible. Like a P.S. N.B. And then he dated it 23, 1973. So when we got this, we were determined to get every person in the temple out on Sankirtan. We went wild. It was a great time. Actually, during one of Prabhupada's classes, during that visit, one of his Bhagavatam classes, it was the most astonishing class. It had a tremendous impact on the Sankirtan. I remember I wrote the exhort of it in my BBT newsletter, the summary. And it was a class describing how one who glorifies Krishna, one who engages in Krishna Katha Amrita, he becomes eternal. He becomes free from the influence of Yamaraj. In this class, Prabhupada explained how at the time of death of a devotee, the devotee is not dying at all. It's just like going to sleep for a little, while when you wake up, you open your eyes, and standing right in front of you is Krishna. And you're in the spiritual world. And the way Prabhupada was speaking in this class, the whole temple room was mesmerized. It was such an electric class. So in the middle of the class, Prabhupada starts talking about the Bhagavatam. And he starts saying that there's nothing like it. There is no literature anywhere in the world like the Bhagavatam. There is no comparison. There is no competition. He began speaking like that. And after describing the Bhagavatam, he said, therefore, we are instructing all our students, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. Greater Madanga. Then he explained the example of the Madanga. Somehow or other, it is going from door to door and from hand to hand. If they even touch, if they are benefited, such is the greatness of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he went on talking like this, right in the middle of a lecture. And I and Tripurari Maharaj were standing. Tripurari wasn't a sannyasi yet. We were standing right next to Prabhupada on his Vyasasan, and we just froze. And the whole temple room froze. And everybody was looking at us, looking at Prabhupada. And there was such an amazing relationship going on. We were beyond speechless. We were just hearing the words of the person that we loved, and were ready to sacrifice our life for speaking so heavily about distributing books. That lecture was a turning point in terms of the mood of the temple and the mood of the Sankirtan in general. And we immediately published that lecture and sent it out in the BBT newsletter all over the world. So the BBT newsletter was also drumming up the support. Karan Dar had started it, and at this point he was letting me continue it. Then the next thing that happened was in late July 1973. By now, the Krishna trilogies had arrived. So much nectar, huh? I don't know, but it's online. You can. It's pretty amazing stories. I'll send you the link. It's got to be, I don't know if it's audio, but it's pretty long. It's actually very long. It's many, many stories. The interview must have went on for 2 hours. There's so many stories. So I highly recommend you all read it. So I wanted to say a couple of things. I've been thinking about the qualities of a book distributor. Right? And I boiled it down to three principal qualities which are essential for being successful as a book distributor. The first quality is confidence. The second quality is detachment. And the third quality is sincerity. Just three things. So all you have to remember, three things. Very, very simple. So confidence. We have to be confident in distributing these books. So why would we be confident? What would be a good reason to be confident? How about the fact that Prabhupada wrote these books? Prabhupada wrote these books. Not Gandhi. Not, you know, Stephen Hawking. Not Dan Brown. Well, you know, Dan Brown, the author. No, Prabhupada. It's Prabhupada's books. We should make us very confident that these books are not ordinary. They're written by, they're translated and commented on by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's an incredible, valid reason to be super confident when you're distributing these books, handing these books to someone. This is written by Prabhupada, the Prabhupada. Not the imposter, the real Prabhupada. So what does Prabhupada mean? It means that person whose feet all the other masters sit. It's a very special title. It's very exemplary. All the other masters sit at his feet. They want to hear from him. That's Prabhupada. And we see this practically, right? When Prabhupada's name is mentioned amongst other spiritual leaders, it's like, oh, Prabhupada. They all know him. They all acknowledge him, his contribution. It's incredible. He's a very extraordinary personality. So we should be really confident that, hey, this book is written by Prabhupada. And they're Krishna's words. You know Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The original source of creation, the Param Brahman, the cause of all causes, that person, he spoke these words. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita. You know, when you're giving people this Bhagavad Gita, when you're giving people this Bhagavad Gita, this is Krishna's words in print. It's God. Super powerful. That should make us really confident. There's no doubt that this is good information. This is quality content. There's so many books in the world. And so much speculation in the world. People have all these theories. Oh, it's like this, it's like that, right? NASA and the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world, they're complete speculators. They're rascals. If Prabhupada was here, he'd be so angry at these people. He'd be smashing them. Neil deGrasse Tyson's one of the biggest demons. He pretends to be, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson. He's an African-American physicist. He's a rascal. Full-on atheist. But he's so popular because he's a good speaker. But he just speculates. He has no idea. Someone asked him once, oh, can you tell us what gravity is? And he says, oh, actually, we don't know what gravity is, but we know what it does. But we actually don't know what it is. And of course, gravity is the whole basis of all of their theories on Big Bang and the expanding universe and creation and everything. It's all based on gravity. The globe Earth model is all based on gravity. Without gravity, the globe Earth model doesn't exist. Anyway, he's a rascal. So, because he's promoting all these ideas and presenting all these flowery words, because he's a very good speaker. He's very mesmerizing. If you hear him, it's like, oh, he knows what he's talking about. No, he's just nonsense. He's a speculator. Prabhupada gave the example that some mathematician can write down a very elaborate formula and it can cover the entire chalkboard. But if the original conclusion, the starting point, is 1 plus 1 equals 3, then everything he's just written is completely bogus. It's based on a false foundation. So that's the fact with these scientists of the modern world. Their initial conclusion, their initial statement, their foundational statement is completely bogus because they don't acknowledge Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that should make us confident, Jai Gauri Tai, that these are Krishna's words. That should make us extremely confident. We should be excited about that. What else would make us confident? What else should give us confidence in this process of book distribution? What can you think? What else? How about Panchatattva? Lord Chaitanya is here right now in the temple room. And he's telling everyone, spread the holy name. Harinama, Harinama. Harinam eva kevalam. Kalona steva, nasteva, nasteva, gatir anyata. In this age of Kali, the only way, you know, to achieve success, liberation from this material world, is the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. When you say something three times, you make it clear that this is an absolute statement. Right? Someone says something three times to you, okay, I got the point. I got it. Loud and clear. See, he did that on purpose to drill home in our minds that this is absolutely true. So this chanting of Hare Krishna, we now understand through this Krishna consciousness movement, through the preaching of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada, that kirtan has been expanded to book distribution. That is the Brihat Madanga. It's not an ordinary activity. It literally is the same as chanting Hare Krishna on the streets, like Lord Chaitanya did 500 years ago. That's all he did. He chanted all day. They would distribute prasadam. That was the program. After they got tired, they distributed prasadam. They ate prasadam and fed everybody else. And then the next day, kirtan again. And if you didn't agree with this process, if you doubted it, if you thought, oh, that's just sentimental, some people thought like this, oh, you are just sentimentalist, then he would defeat you philosophically. And then he would quote the books. Then the books came into play. Oh, really? Sentimental, is it? How about this? How about that? How about this? He would quote all the Shastra. He became the pundit, Nimai pundit. But before that, it's just chanting and prasadam. So Prabhupada dedicated his life to convince people because the world was overrun with Mayavad, with Sunyavad. Namaste, Sarasvati Devi, Gauravani, Pacharini, Nivasesa Sunyavadi, Paschajada Satarani. He came specifically, this is right in his mantra, to destroy this Mayavad, this impersonalist philosophy, to eradicate it from the planet. That was one of Prabhupada's main missions. And he did that through establishing these books, to translating these books and convincing people from all angles that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that chanting the holy name is the absolute process for self-realization. That spiritual life begins when we control the tongue. All of these stories in the books are there to convince us on these things. So that's why books are important. Because people are so in illusion. They get so much information. Now even more than when Prabhupada was on the planet. It's crazy now with the internet. Everyone's overloaded with theories, overloaded with information. They're confused now. There's so much disinformation, misinformation. Even the CIA department, the CIA actually has a department for disinformation. Did you know that? They have these things. All of these intelligence agencies around the world, they hire people to be disinformation agents. And they actually get online, they create fake profiles, and they present fake information. There's actually departments that are funded by the government to spread disinformation all over the world. And then, of course, then you have your regular fools and rascals who just want to just bother you and present false information. They create some meme, right? A meme, you know what a meme is, right? And then people think because it's a meme, it must be true. And then they spread it. Right? This is the nature of the world we live today. It's crazy. So there's so much false information out there. Everyone's confused. So it's so important now to give people real information, real knowledge, real wisdom, absolute knowledge. So we should be confident about that we actually have that in our hand. So the next quality, detachment. Ooh, detachment. How do we become detached? That's a big challenge for us to become detached. Right? How do we become detached? Detachment can only happen when we transcend the modes of material nature. You have to get out of this consciousness that you know you are the body. You have to transcend it. You have to really become convinced that this body is just a vehicle. It's just a tool for Krishna's service. It's not me. I'm much bigger than this body. I'm much greater than this body. We have to transcend it. And the process is there. So we chant the holy name to fix our consciousness on a higher vibration. We move our consciousness from the physical realm and we raise it to the spiritual realm. That's one of the processes. And then there's more practical things like, you know, not dressing in such a way to like, you know, overstimulate the senses and agitate the mind of others or ourselves, or not, you know, being so concerned about, you know, looking super attractive, you know, just as long as you're clean and neat and tidy, that's fine. Or if Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj would take this to the extreme, he'd never use a mirror. Did you know that? Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj never used a mirror. He'd put his tilak on without a mirror. So he was so expert, he would just do it like this and. Om Keshavaya Namaha, da da da, no mirror. So I remember when we were in the Brahmacharya Ashram, we go through these fanatical stages where we wouldn't use the mirror, right? Even now I try not to use the mirror too much. I don't want to look at my body anyway, you know. And so these are other things, you know, and of course then you have like a cool shower and things like that, and so there's different things you can do, and then eating regulated at regulated times, so you're just not eating just whimsically, so you control your senses. All of these techniques are there, these practices are there to help us become detached from the material body. So Prabhupada writes here, and he said, this is in a, is it in the Bhagavatam? Yeah, in the ninth canto. He says, by engagement in devotional service of the Lord, one becomes detached from this enjoying spirit, isn't it? Before we came to Krishna consciousness, we're just about enjoyment. But as we engage in devotional service, we tend that enjoyment spirit, that flame, becomes smaller. And we notice as you get older, all of us are getting older now, the flame's less now, right? The flame of enjoyment's less than it was when we were 21. It's like it's burning still. We haven't put it out yet, but it's much smaller. The devotees automatically become detached from worldly enjoyment, and this detachment is the result of perfect knowledge. Therefore, the penance of devotional service includes knowledge and detachment, and that is the manifestation of transcendental potency. And then there is, in a morning walk in 1975, he says, When there is attachment on account of Krishna, that is detachment. So becoming attached to Krishna, the result of that is detachment from the material world. So we don't have to try to become detached. Just become attached to Krishna. And detachment is automatic then. Right? Yukta vairagyam uchite. He is attached to everything, but not for his personal self. We are spending lakhs of rupees, which is hundreds of thousands of rupees, for constructing a temple. But we are not interested to construct a house or a skyscraper building. We are not interested. That is detachment. We're building for Krishna, doing everything for Krishna. Then there is, in the Bhagavad Gita 6:35, Lord Krishna says, O mighty arm, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and detachment. So detachment is a critical component in the success of devotional service. And then there is, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, he says, in other words, any person who has surrendered his life for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come to the point of perfect knowledge. The result of perfect knowledge is that one becomes detached from a materialistic way of life. So again, perfect knowledge, accumulating perfect knowledge. Where do we find perfect knowledge? Prabhupada's books. So we have to read these books. We have to understand them. And detachment can come in this way as well. Prabhupada didn't want us just to distribute the books. He wanted us to understand the contents of these books. So it's super important for us to read the Bhagavatam, to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to read the Bhagavad Gita. I actually took this this instruction very seriously, and when I was a brahmachari, and I actually read the entire Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita verbally. So rather than just reading it in my mind, I actually spoke all the verses so I heard them. Every day I'd read, you know, and so I felt like, you know, that would be the best way to like cement that knowledge in my heart. So we have to read these books. So detachment is a critical component. Confidence is a critical component. And the last component, sincerity. We have to be sincere, right? We have to be sincere. Because sincerity, Prabhupada wrote one time, he wrote one time to a disciple, he says, sincerity is a very rare thing in this world. It's a very rare thing. To be sincere is extraordinarily rare in this world today. This whole world today is completely insincere. Everything is so damn fake. Fake news, fake relationships, fake promises. Everything's fake. It's just all shallow. It's all just a sham. There's no sincerity. Corporations that rule this world, it's called corporatocracy. You ever heard of that before? The governments don't run the world, the corporations run the world. They control the governments. All the lobby groups that pay the politicians, right, to pass laws, to benefit their companies. Those lobby groups represent companies. So ultimately the companies are actually determining policy. There's a corporatocracy. These corporations control the world. They are completely insincere. They do not give a damn about your welfare. All they care about is the share price. All they care about is what's good for the company, what's good for the bottom line, what's going to actually make more money for our company, what's going to increase the shares, the value of the shares of our company. That's all they care about. You are just a tool in that agenda. Oh, we need to sell more products, so let us make some stories up, manufacture some false scientific reports to back up the quality, the efficacy of this particular product. You know, like maybe, you know, a pharmaceutical product. There's many examples of this. Where one time there was a product in America. I can't remember the company, but it was a pharmaceutical company. And they were selling a product that was directly tied to the AIDS virus. Right? It was actually causing the AIDS virus. And it was banned in America. So what did they do? Oh, let's sell it in another country. Rather than throwing it away, deposing it, getting rid of it, they thought, oh, we'll take it and we'll ship it to Brazil, we'll ship it to India, and we'll sell it in those countries. That's the mentality. That's the mentality. They do not give a damn about anyone except themselves. It's a very selfish mentality. So where there's insincerity, there's thriving selfishness. Selfishness is a fruit of insincerity. So you can tell a tree by the fruit, right? Someone's selfish, they're insincere. Someone who's sincere, their fruit is selflessness. All they care about is the benefit of other people. They want to serve other people. So this is para dukkha dukkhi, para sukha sukhi. They're like, they're happy when others are happy. They're sad when others are sad. This is a mentality, the mindset of a devotee. They're sincere. They sincerely care about other people. Right? In a letter to Uddhava, Prabhupada wrote, Krishna will surely give you all facilities and encouragement if you work for him very sincerely, because everything belongs to Krishna. It does not take him even a second to offer anything we desire, provided such a thing is engaged in the service of the Lord. He can give us anything we want in a second if we're sincere, and our sincerity is based on engaging that thing in the service of the Lord. That's the practical manifestation of sincerity. I want this thing, but I want it for Krishna. I want to serve and please Krishna. So you simply desire to serve Krishna the best, and there will be no scarcity of anything. Know it for certain. And then I think it's a letter too. Now you are a grihastha, and there is no need to be despondent, discouraged, right? So you're a grihastha now. Don't be discouraged. I know it's a big difference with being a brahmachari, right? I remember when I became a grihastha, I put the white clothes on. Oh my God, it was extremely discouraging. Putting the white cloth on for the first time. Oh man, I was so attached to my profile as a brahmachari. I put it on and I literally wanted to just shrink down to a mosquito and hide in the corner. I didn't want to be seen. I was like just destroyed in my heart. I was so discouraged. I was like, oh my God, well, I'm just nothing. I was like very humiliating. But that's also purifying because I become very humble. Krishna forced humility on me. And of course it's crazy because it's a natural stage. Okay, you're brahmachari and then you get married. That's normal. But back in the day, and there's still remnants of this now in ISKCON, if you become a grihastha, it's like, oh, you failed. Oh, you couldn't do it. Oh, you're not sincere. You couldn't do it. Huh? Not strong enough. Yeah, that was a mentality. You felt useless. And that's so bad, actually. And to the point where I know, and I was a brahmachari for 14 years, but I saw so many brahmacharis who needed to get married, and they didn't get married because of the peer pressure. I knew, I mean, I could see them, like, you need to get married. You're, like, completely agitated. And, you know, you're you're not a natural brahmachari. But they wouldn't do it because of false ego, because of peer pressure. So that's unhealthy. But if we understand that we're a soul, right, and we're not this body, what's the problem? Okay, I get married, I'll go through that process, it's another learning experience. But it doesn't mean I'm not a devotee. It doesn't mean I can't become Krishna conscious. So these are subtle things, but these in the early days, they were misunderstood. And it was very unhealthy. So Prabhupada says, now you are a grihastha, there is no need to be despondent. Simply we have to become sincere to act fully in Krishna consciousness. Your wife, Shyamadasi, is a very good girl. She will always be helpful to you in doing as the boys and girls in London are doing in attracting the attention of various types of people from all over the world. Of course, we know too, in the example of the early grihasthas, how through their sincerity, they did amazing service, right? Look at the example of Mukunda and Janaki and Gurudas and Yamuna. And who else was there? Shamashundara and Malati. Three grihastha couples. What did they do? Whew. So much amazing service. Incredible. You're talking about very young devotees. They'd only joined 3 or 4 years before. I mean, think about it. When we were just like a devotee for three, four years, how much did we really know? I mean, we're pretty neophyte. I mean, even after 10, 20, 30 years, you still haven't worked it out, right? But after 3 years, whew, you know nothing. You know really nothing. You don't have any experience. So these devotees were given the responsibility to spread Krishna consciousness in Europe. And they did it. They did amazing service. Amazing service. Met the Beatles and spread it like wildfire. So in 1968, Prabhupada wrote, if these people, the void and impersonalist philosophers, are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee of Krishna, and if they are sincere in their search for the absolute truth, they will find Krishna consciousness as the last resort of their philosophical researches. Even a Mayavadi who has some sincerity can come to Krishna consciousness. And Mayavadi is the most offensive. You realize that? They're the most offensive, actually. Because a Mayavadi thinks that Krishna's form is completely illusion. It's fantasy. It's illusion. Krishna doesn't have a form. So they're the most offensive. Imagine you're in a room with someone, right? And they purposely don't even acknowledge your existence. Right? You're in a room of people, and say there's like, you know, how many people here now? There's 4, 5, 6, whatever, 8 people. And this person says, oh, it's nice to have 9 people in the room. It's nice to have Anantadas and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know all your names, sorry. But then and then purposely they don't mention one of you. How would you feel? It's like, hello, I'm here too. Hello, is my name going to be mentioned? As being present in the room or as being a participant? So that's very offensive, right? You feel offended, naturally. So wouldn't Krishna feel offended? If the Mayavadi is openly, vigorously promoting that he's an illusion? It's like, what? How dare you call me an illusion? So they are the most offensive. But even they, if they are sincere, they can come to Krishna consciousness. No one is disqualified. In a letter to Purushottama in 1968, Prabhupada writes, I'm glad to understand that everything is very nice in New York Temple, and Krishna is attracting many new devotees lately. The more you sincerely serve Krishna, the more he will send you similar devotees to assist you. It's all about sincerity. Krishna will do magic if you're sincere. In another letter to Gurudas, he says, in 1975, I thank you very much because I see you are doing very good. Now you are doing something, so you should continue in this way. Do practical solid work. This is required. You are an old, experienced devotee. So in 1975, Guru Das was like a devotee for like 9 years. He was an old devotee. Right? He says, you're an old, experienced devotee. And I've personally trained you in so many things. So now it is our responsibility to train others. Otherwise, what is the meaning of my training to you? So do it with sincerity and know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will give you all facility and you will be successful. If you're sincere, Krishna will completely facilitate you, will empower you with wisdom, will empower you with things, with money, with people, with ideas, with everything you need if you're sincere. If you sincerely want to serve Krishna, Krishna will help you. And finally, to Malati, in 1967, the beginning of the movement, Prabhupada writes, you are a very sincere girl and your sentiment is also very nice. One should always feel very humble. That will help one to make progress in Krishna consciousness. So your humble feeling that you are shrouded by illusion is very nice. At the same time, your feeling that Krishna consciousness is so nice that it makes everything easy. So these three qualities are critical for success in book distribution. Confidence. We now know why we should be confident. Prabhupada's books. These are Prabhupada's books. Krishna is God. You know, shout it from the rooftops. Krishna is God. Hello. Wake up, sleeping souls, right? This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's the example of Ramanuja, too, right? He was given the Ram, was it the Ram mantra? He was given the mantra and he was told not to share this mantra. He says, forget that, I'm going to share it. He got up on the rooftop and shared it. So be confident that this is something extraordinary. Extraordinary. Be detached. We're not this body. Use your mind to develop detachment. And the more you are detached, the more it will come across to people that you care about them. That you're actually, you know, you're genuine if you're detached. Because you're not doing this for you. You're doing it for them. So they'll feel that. If you're coming into, if you're approaching them and you have this attached mentality, they're going to smell that like a dog smelling adrenaline. They're going to smell that and they're going to bark. Arr! Right? They're going to bark. They're not going to like it. There's something wrong here. Arr! Right? They're going to smell the adrenaline if you're attached. They're going to think, oh no, I don't want this. This is suspicious. But if you're detached, like, oh, what's that? I want that. Why is he so detached? Why, what's so special about this thing? That he's so content? Right? There's something, I want that. What's that contentment, you see? They want that. So be detached and be sincere. So when you talk to them, look in their eyes. I want to do a little exercise here. So I want you to group up into two. Two people get together as two. Right, everyone get together. I want you to do this little exercise. And we'll finish up. So two people together. Come on. Come on, you have to do this. You have to do two people together. So I want you to look in the eye of the person, look directly in their eyes. You've got three people. Look in their eyes, right? You ready? So I want you to repeat after me in English or Slovenian. It says, I honor you as a soul. I honor you as a soul. Say this to the other person. Look in their eyes. I see the soul shining through your eyes. It's very powerful, right? Look at them and say, I know you are not this body. You are the soul that animates this body. You are amazing. And I'm speaking directly to you, the soul. I'm not speaking to a body. I'm speaking to you, the real you. Would you like this book? So I want you to have this mentality today when you approach people. Don't see them as a body. See them as a soul. When you speak to them, switch your consciousness. Speak to them as a soul. It's a little subtle change. But you'll find the words you speak, even the simplest things you say, will have tremendous potency. It's like a whole other world. It's like you ramp up the volume. It's like all of a sudden the volume's full blast. Oh my God. It's a completely different effect than if you just speak from the intellectual level. If you try to communicate them as a body. You're not actually talking to them then. You're not talking to the real person within. So the way to become transcendental and not be affected by the surrounding negative influences around you is when you communicate with people, you communicate to them as a soul. This is exactly what Prabhupada did. When Prabhupada spoke to us, he didn't speak to us as a body. And that's why he had so much potency when he spoke the simplest statements. Because when he looked at you and he says, you are not this body, it's like, okay, I'm not the body. But if we say it, it's like, oh yeah, I'm not the body. We grasp it intellectually. But when Prabhupada said it, we grasp it from the core of our soul. Oh my God, yes, I'm not the body. So change your consciousness when you're making these presentations, when you're communicating with people, communicate to them as a soul. They'll feel this difference. And they'll be so impacted. Even if they don't buy a book, they'll never be the same again. They'll remember that exchange you had. Any comments or questions before we finish? All the time is. Was that a good exercise? All right, book distribution, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada.